Mike, and episode 36, we have on the line our good buddy Travis McNeil from Canada. Travis was at Ring of Honor on Saturday. Travis is here with us. Mike's here with us. Travis, hey. Say hello to the people.
Hi, everybody. How's it going out there in internet podcast land?
They're saying it's going wonderful. So yeah, like I said, while I was off, you know, engaging that whole holy matrimony business, you were in wrestle land. You were a part of a revolution.
The Canada leg of said revolution. Yes.
I love how they revolutionized America in one night and Canada in the next. Like, it only took one night.
Yeah, Dearborn, Michigan was the representation for the United States Revolution. But no, it was like a very very polarizing days. Travis was at the ROH show and Tom was getting married. But yeah. I guess as much as we all like to maybe sit around and talk about Tom's wedding, maybe we'll probably talk about that in a little bit. But obviously we want to get Travis on per usual whenever he goes to these Canada shows. And I guess my first question is, where would you rank this in terms of, I guess, like the ROH Canada shows? Because there have been a couple good ones. There's been that Epic Encounter 3 from last year with Omega and Davey that I know you're a huge fan of, and I'm a huge fan. I know a lot of people are. It was one of the most, probably one of the best ROH shows of 2010. But where would you rank this show?
Honestly, I'd probably rank it on the kind of low end of the spectrum. I'd say it's kind of comparable to the two Death Before Dishonor shows they did 2 years ago when they did the double shot. There was some really good stuff on there. Nothing completely mind-blowing outside of maybe the main event, which I'll get into in a bit. But it was definitely a really solid show, and ROH has a really good track record in Toronto, and this definitely added to it. So while it might not have been as good as, say, Epic Encounter or, say, last year's Death Before Dishonor iPay-per-view, it was definitely a really solid show, and I'm glad I went.
So, Travis, these Flatliner dudes, why are they still around?
I'm not too sure, to be honest, but they're types of guys that just get massive pops whenever they come out in Toronto, so I guess it's kind of a decent way to kind of get the crowd worked up as far as a dark match is concerned. Personally, I've seen them so many goddamn times that I'm completely over it, and I'm still really bitter about the only time in my life I've ever got to see the Young Bucks live. They fought the Flatliners, so I don't know, I kind of spiked them a little bit for that, yeah. But I don't know, they fought the dark match, and they beat, like, Rip Impact, who's a perennial ROH / Dragon Gate USA dark match performer, so the crowd was kind of into it. I can't even remember who Rip teamed with. But, like, the Flatliners have a decent finish. It's the old, like, powerbomb lung blower thing like Davey Richards and Super Dragon used to do, so I don't know, that kind of got over, and it was okay to get the crowd warmed up.
By the way, I like Rip Impact. I think he's pretty good. I remember he was on that Dragon Gate show, the not the pay-per-view, but I guess it was like the what was it, Open the Northern Gate?
Yeah,
I think he was on that show with like Extremo or whatever his name. I don't know what his name is, or is that his name, Extremo? I think that's what it is. Yeah, and I remember thinking like, hey, this guy's not half bad. So
yeah, he's not bad at all. He's been around a long time. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say, how long has he been around? Okay.
Yeah, he used to wrestle, like, 2005, back when I used to go, like, the UWA shows in Mississauga, and I don't know, he's a really nice guy. Like, he had a short stint in Mexico, like, training with Ultimo Dragon and stuff, and he's one guy that's always, like, really worked hard and kind of trying to get places, probably never will, but he's definitely, like, a solid hand and a really nice guy, so it's kind of cool, like, you know.
Like Scott Reed, like, a guy, like, you always hear, like, he's always around, and he deserves that break, but he never gets it.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, Rip Impact's partner was Alex Byrd. Like, really? Like, you go through, like, all the wrestling names you can think of, man. Alex Byrd. That sounds tough.
I'm so pissed off Pee-wee wasn't on this show.
Yeah, me too, man. I don't know, like, that guy hasn't shown up once, really, since he did that awesome tag match that we loved where his team was stupefied, and then he, like, randomly fought Roderick Strong in Buffalo. Completely fallen off the face of the earth, which sucks, because I remember he was, like, one of our guys to watch in 2000.
Oh, yeah. We got to go back in time. We got to go back and see, like, who we picked and if we actually look like we're actually know what we're talking about or we're actually complete idiots. I think I said – I don't know. I think I predicted a couple right ones in there. I probably had a couple wrong ones.
Well, I know one of us picked the Southside Players Club, and as of right now, one of them's retired. So
there you go.
Sorry about that one, guys.
So anyway, Kyle O'Reilly wrestled Claudio Castagnoli, and that kind of sounds like it's an amazing like match on paper. How was it, Travis?
Yeah, definitely an amazing sounding match on paper. Actually, going into the show is probably what I was looking forward to most. I just thought it would be absolutely can't miss. When I found out it was the opener, I was kind of like, okay, this is either going to get the show like started off with a bang, or they're going to kind of tone it down a little bit. You know, for better or worse, they kind of went the toned down way. One thing I found really surprising about the match is in the write-up when they announced it in the newswire or whatever, they really played into O'Reilly's guillotine choke that he had on Claudio in the tag match they did in Atlanta. And I thought for sure like that would be this big near-fall spot that he would get the guillotine on. He never did. Really, like outside of a couple roll-ups, O'Reilly didn't get a ton of offense in. He didn't get to do his rolling suplexes he does or anything of that sort. It was mostly just like leg kicks, a couple kicks to the chest, some roll-ups here and there. Claudio pretty much won in fairly dominating fashion. I don't know, like, it was a pretty good match. The crowd was kind of into it. O'Reilly got the big, you know, Canadian guy sharpshooter spot, so the crowd popped for that. But overall, I was kind of disappointing, and it's a match I'd definitely like to see a rematch of, kind of maybe higher up on a card where they get more time, because there were glimmers of it being good there, but never really surpassed that at all. So, decent match, but kind of disappointing.
Now, I think I might have asked this last time you were on the show. Like, people in Ontario recognize O'Reilly as like a hometown boy, even though he's from like BC.
Like he kind of did the whole like cheap heat thing. Like he came out and he grabbed a Canadian flag from a fan and kind of like posed with it on the top rope. So that kind of got the crowd behind him Canadian wise. Last time he was there though, when he teamed with Cole and they fought the Bravados.
That's, he started the revolution right there.
Yeah, man.
That's when the revolution got started.
Yeah, we'll touch on that in a little bit too. But I don't like when he wrestled that match, he wasn't really like bought as a Canadian at all. But this time, yeah, came out, grabbed the flag, did the sharpshooter spot. So he kind of had the babyface heat as far as I was concerned.
Now, speaking of Canadians, Steve Corino was next, and I'm kind of interested in this one because I just found out on Sunday I will be attending the show in Chicago, thanks to this other guy on the line here.
Yes.
Yes.
We'll talk about that in a minute. That'll be a lot of fun, I'm sure.
He wrestled Mike Bennett, Corino did, and again, I'm interested because they just announced today that they're doing this match again in Chicago.
And they're doing the reveal too, Tom.
Reveal, the sponsor.
But we'll talk about it in a minute, though, after Travis.
Yeah, it's okay. The match, like, to me, I thought it was kind of a bit of a crowd killer, but, like, I don't know. Corino came out in, like, a Team Canada jersey and talked about how every time he'd been to Canada, he always wanted to wear the jersey, but he couldn't because he was a bad guy. And so, like, that was kind of cute, I guess. And Bennett came out, sucked the life out of the crowd a little bit. Corino cut kind of a long promo about, you know, how he's trying to get back on the wagon or off the wagon or whichever term is used to describe when you're trying to right yourself in life. And basically said he was going to wrestle the match clean. So the start of it was Bennett smacking him around, daring Corino to hit him. And then it just kind of turned into a Steve Corino match, trying to shove his thumb up his ass and putting the ring bell over his crotch and hitting him with the hammer and stuff. And there was no really like build up to Corino kind of falling off the wagon. It just really happened all of a sudden. And it kind of made the opening promo kind of seem non-important. I don't know, man. Mike Bennett doesn't excite me. Brutal Bob, I think, is just way too over the top. And the crowd was kind of giving him shit, but not in, like, a good heel way. Just kind of in a, like, who the fuck is this guy way. The match went, like, over 10 minutes, so it kind of killed the crowd a little bit like that. And especially considering, like, later matches that I felt kind of got shortchanged a little bit as far as time was concerned. Definitely could have been used better that way, but I don't know, it was okay. Like, after the match, they kind of did like a beatdown, and they gave Corino a couple pile drivers, and they did the tease that like Kevin Steen was going to come out and save Corino, and I don't know if that's going to be the reveal, if it's going to be Steen or not, but it'll be interesting to see come Chicago. So match wise I don't really know what you guys should expect. It might not be the best, but if Steen comes back, it'll get a huge pop, and that'll be fun. So we'll see how it goes for you guys.
Now, during Corino's promo, he said that this guy supposedly, according to this write-up, is – I don't know if he said it about the generic guy he was talking about or about Kevin Steen in general, but did he say the guy's, like, in the best shape physically of his life? Because if so, I have an idea who it is. I'm not going to say who it is on the air, but I have an idea who it is, and it's not
– I think I know who you could be hinting at as far as the best shape of his life things concerned. Yeah, Corino did say that. Basically, it was a man who had done a lot of wrong in his life, who was even more evil than Steve Corino, who's in the best shape of his life, and who wanted to make a return to Ring of Honor. So it's definitely someone returning. Wanted to make a return to Ring of Honor and kind of right the wrongs that he previously committed. So I think I kind of know where you're going with your shape comment, but we'll see what happens. Come to Chicago.
Derek Dempsey.
Do we want to reveal who we think it's going to be, or are we going to do that for later?
I don't want to.
Don't do it right now.
Okay. No, let's keep it off air. Let's just.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Do you want to just?
Let's leave it to the imagination.
Let's be surprised. Yeah, gonna say let's kind of see who it is instead of just speculating, like, you know, whoever.
Yeah. Speaking of speculation, go ahead.
Maybe it's a dinosaur. Maybe it's the Playboy Bunny.
Maybe it's a dinosaur.
That's what he died. Who was in the egg?
Oh, goodness.
The dinosaur. Go back and watch. Mean Gene thought there was going to be a dinosaur in the egg at Survivor Series.
Thank you for expounding on it, just as opposed to because we have some young listeners who don't know what the egg is. Speaking of eggs, Double Danger Scramble, because scrambled eggs. Anyway.
Yeah, I get it.
So this thing sounds like the most confusing thing in the history of the world, Travis. Was it nearly as confusing as it sounds?
No, it was actually shockingly pretty simple. And, I mean, going into the show, I read, like, the announcement of the match. And even on the car ride to Toronto, I was trying to explain to my friend that I went to the show with who hadn't read the latest news wire to even know this match was announced. I was trying to explain the rules. And it was just so convoluted with the whole, there's no eliminations unless you're disqualified. Then you're eliminated. And you have to win two falls, and you can tag if you want, but you don't have to. And I don't know, like...
Yeah, like, why would you tag in?
Exactly. So, I mean, as far as, like, Toronto as a crowd's concerned, I remember back during the Death Before Dishonor double shot, they did Brent Albright and Claudio Castagnoli European rules. And I remember it just completely went over the heads of the audience. And I kind of feared that this match would be the same way, that nobody would really get it. And it would be one of those deals where when somebody gets a fall, the crowd would assume the match is over, then be confused when it kept going. But to his credit, Bobby Cruz did a really good job kind of announcing the rules, and everybody followed, and they did a really quick roll-up spot early on with Tommaso Ciampa. I'm pretty sure he rolled up like Adam Cole when Cole was going to go for a dive or something. And nobody bought it as the finish. The crowd like completely knew the rules and that it was two falls to win. And actually, they built a pretty intriguing match off, because for the rest of the match, it was just Ciampa going for roll-ups, anything he could do to try to get another fall, everybody breaking up every pinfall attempt Ciampa got. I'm pretty sure like Rhett Titus got a fall in there too, so it was kind of back and forth with Ciampa and Rhett. And then the finish, man, was amazing. Actually, before they went to the finish, they did like a big dive sequence, so everybody got a crazy dive in. Michael Elgin did like a corkscrew plancha thing to the floor onto everybody that just blew the entire crowd's minds, because he's so big and he really has no reason to be doing that shit, but he's capable of doing it, so bless his heart for it. And I remember there was a crazy spot too at one point, like there was something going on the floor, so nobody was really paying attention to the ring, and then all of a sudden there was like a small buzz going about, and then everybody looked at the ring, and just out of nowhere Adam Cole gave Michael Elgin like a top rope Canadian destroyer. That was just fucking crazy. And that, like, I definitely, everybody bought that as a fall, but like the entire rest of the crew in the match kind of broke it up. And after that, the finish was amazing. Grizzly Redwood like went for something. Michael Elgin like held him in Alabama slam position. Cole ran in and like Elgin picked him up too and gave him like a double Alabama slam. It was just ridiculous. And like pinned them both at the same time to get the two falls, and got a huge pop. Despite the fact he's a heel, Michael Elgin being from Ontario, he's a really over babyface on the Toronto show. So it was smart booking putting him over. If it's the guy they want to give a push to, he looked really dominant, and the crowd popped huge for it. So overall, it was a really well-done match, and I kind of wasn't expecting it to be. But if they can kind of keep a story going with the match itself and kind of keep it interesting like how they did in Toronto, I think it'll be a good stipulation for him to use going forward.
Double Danger.
It could use a rework in the name, definitely. So
it sounds like a show that you would watch at 10 a.m. on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Like, involving slime and...
Absolutely. And the dude from Unwrapped would be the host.
Yes, yes. So Kenny King wrestled Davey Richards, and it sounds like it was pretty decent.
Yeah, it was good. I wouldn't say it was as good as their match at the Big Bang last year. It was kind of getting to that level, and they did a lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool counters. And the ending, though, was really, really awkward. Basically, like, Kenny King was up top, and Davey went for, like, his running German superplex thing he does and completely whiffed and slipped on the middle rope and kind of fell back. And then, like, after Davey fell, like, Kenny did the backflip bump off it. And then pretty much, like, right after that, Davey put in an ankle lock, Kenny tapped, and then Richards just, like, stormed right to the back. So it was definitely put a damper on the match, which up to that point had been really solid, really good. But the whole kind of botch and aftermath kind of wrecked it a little bit. Maybe if they kind of did some stuff after the botch, went to the ankle lock, and Davey didn't just leave the ring pissed off like a dickhead, the crowd would have responded to it better, but... I don't know. It definitely it didn't really sit well with the audience after that.
Dave Richards, you dickhead.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see as far as the DVD release is concerned if they kind of try to clean it up a bit or what they can do to make it look better. But I don't know. It was a pretty bad botch, so we'll see what happens.
Yes. So now we go to the Larry Swinney tribute bout, which sounds like it was very T-shirt heavy
yeah.
in its ways.
Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of like a polarizing match in a way because, like, there was definitely emotion running through the building, and Cabana came out with, like, the Larry Sweeney armbands, and Delirious did too, and they did all, like, the T-shirt humor, throwing the Larry Sweeney shirts into the crowd, and that was really cute. The crowd was really into it, and I was kind of unsure a little bit, like, if the crowd would totally understand, like, what the match was about and what it was for, but again... Much like the Double Danger Scramble thing, to their credit, the crowd was really smart, knew what was going on, were totally receptive with the whole, like, sweet and sour chants and everything, and it was really nice to see. The match itself was a little weird in the fact that the pre-match shenanigans with the T-shirt stuff, and they did, like, a strut off to, like, more, 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 and, like, Todd Sinclair got in on the strutting. That was really funny and got a big pop. But the actual match itself maybe went, like, 90 seconds to 2 minutes, so... In a sense, I guess that was kind of a little underwhelming, but I mean, with Delirious booking now, I'm sure he doesn't want to put himself all over the shows and have a long match, and I kind of applaud him for that, I suppose. And I don't know, it was weird because, like, Cabana went up top, did the 12 large elbow, and I remember thinking, like, I don't know, it's going to be kind of weird that they're kicking out of Sweeney's finish, but then it was the finish, so I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It was a strange match, but it was really cool, and the crowd was into it, and... It was definitely a pretty decent tribute to Larry Sweeney, so I enjoyed it.
What shirts were they? Like, were they all, like, the different Sweeney shirts?
No, they were like the Macho Man ones he did with, like, the glasses. That said,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Power. Yeah. So
I have a red one.
Nice.
Do you have any? Tom, do you have one?
I have the pink one. I actually heard about it in my deal.
Wait, it's in your picture, right?
Yeah, it's on my Twitter, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no, that's how Sweeney and I first started talking, was I ordered a shirt through him and all that stuff, so, yes.
Sadly, I don't own one, so I'm out of the loop as far as that's concerned, but, yeah, basically, like, Cabana was wearing, like, five different T-shirts, like, one over top of the other, and he was throwing them to the crowd, and the last one, he teased the crowd, and he was like, Larry Sweeney wouldn't want me throwing T-shirts to you guys, and so they did, like, a spot where, like, Delirious tried to get the shirt off him, and Delirious ended up throwing it into the crowd, a big pop and stuff, so it was cute.
Now, Christopher Daniels wrestled El Generico. Chris Daniels doesn't exactly have the best reputation going into this in terms of having great bouts. So did Generico, did he work his magic, or was it a Chris Daniels and Ring of Honor in 2011 match?
I don't know. It was definitely a really solid match. It kind of, in a way, almost reminded me of Daniels versus Kenny Omega from Death Before Dishonor last year. While I wouldn't say it reached that level of how good it was, it was definitely a match that kind of started a little bit slow when you're like, okay, you know, it's Chris Daniels, but it definitely picked up. Like, they did a lot of cool stuff. Generico gave him, like, the exploder and the turnbuckles, which, you know, Chris Daniels has been wrestling a long time. Like, he doesn't really need to be taking that sort of shit, but he did, to his credit. And they did some, like, shenanigans with, like, Truth Martini running in and taking bumps and stuff. And I think I'm pretty sure, like, Generico gave him, like, a Yakuza kick in the corner. And I don't know. I was actually really surprised Generico went over, so that was kind of nice to see because he's been losing a lot lately. So that was good. But, like, I don't know. It was a decent match. I wouldn't say it's anything worth going out of your way to see. Because it is kind of just Christopher Daniels, you know, in 2011, like you said, Tom. But Generico definitely worked hard. Daniels worked hard as well, don't get me wrong. He took all of Generico stuff. He tried to put on, you know, a decently compelling match, and it was good. It went maybe, you know, about 15 minutes, and it was definitely really solid. It kind of had a shitty spot on the card, though, because at that point the show was running really long, and we still had, like, the three main matches left that were all going to get a fair chunk of time, and crowd was kind of getting burnt out to an extent. So maybe the crowd heat wasn't as great as it could have been, but definitely as the match progressed, the crowd got more into it, and they built to a hot finish, and it was really good. And post-match, they did some stuff with Carino, where Carino came out and, you know, blasted Daniels for kind of selling out and turning his back when, I guess, Carino said to Mike Bennett that he should look up to Daniels as a role model and stuff. I don't know. I'm still super behind on the HDNet show, despite the fact it's canceled now. So I don't know. So I guess they kind of did something like that, and it kind of looks like it's building to maybe like Carino, Generico, and whoever the mystery sponsor is against the House of Truth, which I think could be pretty fun. So we'll see how it goes.
So now we have Charles Haas and Shelton Benjamin against Jay and Mark Briscoe. How'd this one compare to the iPay-per-view match?
It definitely didn't reach the level of the iPay-per-view match. And the iPay-per-view match itself I enjoyed, but like it didn't exactly light my world on fire. This was definitely several notches below that. The Briscoes were hilarious. They're so animated now in their roles as heels, and it's really fun to see just kind of cursing and stooging a little bit. And Mark was bloody because I guess the Briscoes fought like King and Titus the night before in Dearborn in the first blood match. So Mark came out with like the big bandage on his head, and within 30 seconds he was split wide open again. And like, I don't know. I guess it's kind of disheartening to me a little bit because Shelton and Charlie like came in, have got this big push to the tag team champions now, but it's almost like I've already seen everything that they're capable of doing in Ring of Honor at this point. So, like, I don't know. And the crowd was into it to an extent. I mean, they kind of did like the dueling, like, let's go Briscoes, world's greatest tag team chants and stuff, but I don't know. Like, Shelton didn't even do a lot of his trademark offense. Like, if you watch a Shelton Benjamin match, especially in 2011, what do you want to see? You want to see him leap up to the top turnbuckle in one motion. He didn't do that. You want to see him do, like, his spinny kick thing he does. I don't think he did that. And the finish felt really flat, too. Like, King and Titus came, did the run-in, distracted Jay Briscoe. Shelton hit him with that terrible pay dirt move thing he does, the jumping flatliner that MVP's done, that R-Truth has done, that essentially any black WWE wrestler in the past 2 years has done. And that was just kind of it. And I don't know, crowd wasn't too happy about that. I mean, there were definitely people there that were happy that the world's greatest tag team retained, but it's just a really flat finish to a kind of all-around flat match, and I was pretty disappointed by it. Had it have went on before intermission, maybe it kind of would have worked better, but at that point in a really long show, they got maybe like almost 20 minutes but didn't really do too much with it. It was kind of a letdown, and it definitely burnt me out quite a bit that match. So yeah, I don't know. If you like the Chicago match, you're definitely going to like that a lot more than this one. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I'm a little worried now that you've said, like, you know, they've done everything that they can do. You know, I'm a little worried about Chicago, mostly because
Chicago.
Chicago,
no, I wouldn't be at all. They're singles matches.
Yeah, I was gonna say Chicago. It's Haas against Davey and Shelton against Claudio. And I was really hyped for Shelton and Claudio.
Yeah, Shelton and Claudio could be really good, dude. That could be really decent. So,
yeah, I'm glad they're breaking them up, man. They've been teaming them up for every show. It's like, I want to see them as singles already. It's like, I'm kind of sick of seeing them as a tag team. So maybe it's just like that whole novelty just kind of wore off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, not to discredit them too much, but I really do think that Charlie Haas kind of brings down Shelton a little bit. because like Shelton has a lot of real physical charisma. When he gets in the ring, he moves fast, he's intense, he's athletic. The crowd really gets behind him because he's a bit of a name. But I mean, when compared to Shelton, Charlie Haas doesn't really have that much name value. He's a lot more slower, methodical wrestler, and he kind of brings the tag matches down a little bit as far as excitement's concerned. So I mean, maybe like him and Davey could be really good. Like I remember they fought at the Super 8 a couple years ago, and I don't really remember it well. I know I've seen it, but I don't really remember it. But I mean, Davey will work real hard, and maybe they could have like a really good technical match. Who knows? But I had no idea they were doing the singles match, so that's definitely a good call. And I think those might actually turn out to both be really good. So it's probably for the best as far as you guys are concerned.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. And I thought it was because you said, you know, Shelton has all that, you know, physical charisma, and you think Shirley's bringing him down. It's weird because in their debut match against the Kings of Wrestling, one of the things that everybody noted is, oh my goodness, Charlie Haas is an animal. And you kind of noticed his intenseness way more so than anything Shelton really did. So yeah. I thought that was interesting. Because, yeah, since then, Charlie, you know, he was really, 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 really hyped for that match. And I'm not saying, like, he wasn't excited for every other match in Ring of Honor, but he was not nearly to that level. Mm-hmm. Like, he had an ultimate poopy face on his match for, like, or on his face for that entire match. It's like the Sammy Callahan style type deal. But anyway, we move on to the main event, which a lot of people are saying is like one of the best matches of the year already. Eddie Edwards and Chris Hero for the Ring of Honor World title.
Yeah, man, it was fucking fantastic. It was a match that on paper I really hope would deliver, and it definitely had potential too. But then I kind of look back to their other singles match they had in Ring of Honor at Survival of the Fittest, and that wasn't too great, so I wasn't completely sure what to expect. But to both guys' credit, they beat the living hell out of each other. Eddie Edwards' chops, oh my God. Like, say what you will about Roderick Strong and guys of that nature, but Eddie Edwards is definitely up there. Split Hero's chest wide open. Made his chest look like ground hamburger meat. Just absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, they just beat the hell out of each other. They got a ton of time, too. They probably went, like, 30, 35 minutes, and the match just kept building and building as it went on. Hero really smartly attacked Eddie Edwards' arm because in their last singles match, Eddie hurt his elbow or whatever, like doing the tope to the floor. So Hero went after that, and I just thought it was a really smartly worked match. So like every strike Hero would throw, be it a roaring elbow or a Yakuza kick or whatever, they would all be directed right at the arm. And I just thought that was really clever. And I actually had pretty good seats for the show. I was right up against the entranceway. It was the first time I'd ever been like right at the guardrail, right by the entranceway. And Eddie Edwards did like an acai moonsault at one point and like landed in the aisle. And to Eddie Edwards' credit, I was so impressed. I kind of did like a whole like pat on the shoulder, like, yeah, Eddie, like, go get him. And totally, a slight in my mind. I didn't think that, yeah, Hero had been working over that arm. So I totally patted Eddie Edwards on the bad shoulder, and Edwards totally sold it and just gave me this look like, man, yeah, it was awesome. And I thought that was wicked. Like, what a pro Eddie Edwards is. And there were a couple people in the crowd kind of hating on Eddie a little bit and booing him and saying he didn't deserve to be champion and stuff. And I think that's complete bullshit. That guy is on top of his game. As far as – I haven't seen his title win yet because it's not on DVD yet, but I thought his match in Atlanta against Daniels was fantastic. And this match with Hero is absolutely brilliant, and he's definitely delivering as a champion, and good for him. I mean, this is the first time maybe since Austin Aries first won the title where ROH is struck while the iron was hot and put the belt on a fresh guy, you know, going in on his first title shot and really just strapped a rocket to the kid, and he's doing really well, and good for him. There was a really weird situation during the match, though. There was one guy kind of on the opposite side of the entranceway for me that was just giving Eddie a ton of shit, just completely unjustified. And I guess Davey Richards was watching the match from the curtain and must have said something to this guy because it escalated really quickly. Security was over dragging this guy away while he was like yelling at the curtain for like Richards to come do something. And I don't know, I kind of heard post-show that like Davey might have hit the guy. I don't know if that's true or not. I kind of was paying more attention to the match and this joker in the crowd, but that was the rumor floating around. So who knows? I think the guy got kicked out, but just some of the shit he was saying was so asinine. Like, okay, if you don't like a wrestler, fine. But I mean, to say like Eddie Edwards, like shouldn't even be in ROH, and just stupid catcalls like that. That was just brutal. And yeah, it was just completely unjustified. But the match itself, though, man, fantastic. We just kept building as it went along. And I remember maybe like a good like 25 plus minutes, maybe a half hour into it, like Eddie was on the top rope and Hiro like ran and gave him a Yakuza kick or something, and Eddie fell through the ringside table. Just completely unexpected, a really great spot. And they did a whole thing with like Eddie getting back in the ring at 19, and just a lot of drama, and like Hiro just going after the arm, going after the arm. Eddie got the half crab on a couple times. They did a spot where Todd Sinclair like kicked out Hagedorn and Sarah Del Rey from ringside. They kind of came back to distract Eddie, which led to Claudio running in the back, hitting the Ricola bomb. Crowd completely bought it as a new champion. Eddie got the shoulder up last second. Just a lot of really good near falls. They did another one too where like Eddie had the half crab on Hiro. Claudio or somebody tried to do the run in, so Davey came down to stop it, which led to Eddie getting distracted, breaking the hold. Hiro, you know, hitting the elbow on Eddie, getting another big near fall. And the finish was lifted straight out of Yoshihito Sasaki, Big Japan style. Eddie threw on the half crab, and he knew he couldn't get Hiro to tap because his arm was so weak he couldn't wrench it in. So he basically just started stomping on Hiro's head, and it was an awesome finish. Kind of took the crowd a little bit by surprise. I'm not sure, you know, if they completely bought it as a finish at first, but once it settled in, they definitely responded well to it. It was really cool and just an absolutely fantastic match. So the people saying it's one of the best of the year, absolutely. I definitely think it'll transfer really well to DVD. And if you're going to pick up the show, that's definitely the match to do it for. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of solid stuff on the undercard, the six-way, Daniels and Generico was good, stuff like that. But main event was fantastic, and it's definitely worth going well out of your way to see. And I would put it above Davey Richards' Kenny Omega. I'd put it above Austin Aries' Kenny Omega. I'd put it above a lot of the Toronto main events. Maybe not as good as Tyler and Davey from the iPay-per-view, but it definitely got pretty close, which is some super high praise for me to give that match. So definitely check it out when it hits DVD.
For sure. Now, one thing I was wondering, because, you know, like we mentioned earlier, the Bravado's-Colin O'Reilly match in Toronto last night, started the whole, you know, Bravado's bandwagon deal. Was it a little weird to be at that show and not have a Bravado's match, considering everything?
Well, they had a promo. Like, was that in the results or anything about the
No, this is the first I've heard of it.
Oh, see, I was actually going to mention it once we kind of got into the post-intermission stuff, but I didn't know if you were going to bring it up at the end or what. Yeah, after intermission, the Bravados came out dressed in, you know, their Sunday best, as they referred to it as. And honestly, I kind of feel bad for the people in my section because they probably didn't know what the fuck the Bravados were saying just because I was booing so loudly and trying so hard to get the crowd to fucking hate on these guys. And unfortunately, it didn't work as well as their match against Cole and O'Reilly, but they definitely got a lot of heat. The gist of the promo was that, you know, they want to be respectable gentlemen and want to win matches for their grandma or whatever, and that they don't like coming to Canada because, you know, we're mean to them and stuff, and how they think it's deplorable that guys like Colin O'Reilly get to be on the main show when the Bravados have beat them before and the Bravados are still doing dark matches and stuff, which naturally brought out Colin O'Reilly. And they did, like, kind of a little, like, old-school Ric Flair angle where Colin O'Reilly, like, ripped the sweater vests and the suit jackets and stuff off him and beat him up a little bit and sent the Bravados hightailing it. So, I don't know. It was interesting because the angle, like, was decent. It got decent heat, but it ate up a lot of time. And, I mean, maybe that's partially, like, my fault and the rest of the crowds for giving them so much heat that it kind of dragged the whole thing out. But it definitely kind of... coupled with the Carino and Bennett match earlier, that was maybe like a good 25 minutes of the show that either could have been completely done away with, got us out there a little bit earlier, and maybe would have made the crowd hotter for some of the later stuff that they were a little burnt out for, or it just could have been everything else could have been given a little bit more time. Maybe like Claudio and Kyle O'Reilly could have got another 5 minutes. I don't know. But I don't know. It was all right for what it was. I'm definitely glad they did something off it based on the first deal that happened in Mississauga. So if they hadn't have done anything, I definitely think it would have been a mistake. Maybe it wasn't the best thing to do with the Bravado promo, but it was decent for what it was.
So yes, that was Ring of Honor in Toronto. Anything else you want to get in about the show?
No, not at all really. Just that it was really fucking long. And I know Like, there's been long Toronto shows before, but I don't know. They need to – it's just kind of weird when you watch, like, a pro wrestling gorilla show that's, you know, over and done with in 2.5 hours and just everything's electric, and then you go to ROH and you're there for, like, 4.5, 5 hours and you feel like you've ran a marathon by the end of the show. So I don't know. I just think maybe they need to pace things a little better, but who knows, man. It was a good show overall, so I'm not going to complain too much. So it was good.
So – yes, Mike. You said you wanted to bring some stuff up about other things in the wrestling world.
Oh, no, I wasn't to, I guess, I had a few things to talk about, but I guess it was kind of unrelated to the ROH. I don't know, Tom, if you had anything else to ask about the ROH show. Or you...
No.
I guess, basically it is leading to the next show, I guess, that you're going to the Chicago show, which thankfully they did break up, you know, the world's greatest tag team for. You know, just because it gives there's a lot of fresh singles matches, you know, and even Davey and Charlie Haas, which kind of happened before, it's kind of cool to see them now, like, at this point in their careers against one another. I think that's going to be a lot of fun, and I think Claudio and Shelton might be, you know, tremendous in terms of, like, Claudio's such a great base for, like, a smaller guy, and Shelton's not a smaller guy. He's actually, like, you know, a big flippy guy, so I'm kind of wondering what that's all going to be like, too, so... It'll be pretty interesting to see, Tom.
And I'm incredibly interested in Hiro and Generico.
Like, yeah, and the main event, I think Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong is going to be fantastic. Like we just talked about, you know, Eddie Edwards and Chris Hiro. I mean, I think Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong, you know, for the title, man. I think if that might be like another great, you know, Chicago title match, and there's been a lot of great, you know, title matches in Chicago. I think this might be another one, you know.
Yeah, I think the sleeper on that show, too, is going to be Briscoe's and All Night Express Chicago Street Fight. I think that's going to be absolutely wild based on the Atlanta match. So.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I just had my heart broken because I found out that even if they wanted to do the match, Irish Airborne's not available for the weekend. So they couldn't. Morning. Yeah, they're doing that tournament I'm not going to mention.
Yeah. Like, honestly, though, dude, like, I saw on Facebook today that, I guess Manilow, like, retweeted that you thought they should do Irish Airborne versus Colin O'Reilly, and I totally checked Facebook before I checked, like, any wrestling websites or anything today, and I thought the match was announced, and I got so excited, only to be so let down. So, thanks for that, Tom.
No problem. I'm just wondering who the heck they're going to throw him in there with
dying.
Now.
I am dying for them to do that. They're probably going to have him fight the Bravados, right? I mean, you would think based on...
You'd think, but, like, they would have... You'd think they would have, you know, announced the Bravados for the show as well, but...
Well, they're doing this whole gimmick with the Bravados, not booked or whatever, so...
Yeah, like, they did, like, a thing in the Newswire where it's, like... And I might be, like, one of, like, 9 people who actually probably read the Newswire, but it was, like... The Bravado brothers are really looking forward to coming to Revolution Canada and this and that. And Lance said, oh, well, we're this and blah, 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 blah. And it's like at the very end, it'll be like one sentence, be like, ROH has not booked the Bravados for this event or something like that. Yeah. And so that's kind of like the point, I guess, that they were trying to do is like the Bravados are coming, but they're not booked. So I don't know why. Yeah. You know, maybe. Yeah.
And I do think we're getting Chris Daniels and Cabana, which...
Yeah, you would think given what's left.
Yeah, as well as Homicide against Michael Elgin, with once again with Truth Martino.
Yes, I did notice that. Yeah.
This is the second time in as many months that they've made that typo.
Like, and it's even weirder because it says Truth Martini with Roderick Strong or Roderick Strong with Truth Martini.
And so it says Truth Martini with Christopher Daniels as well.
There you go. Yes.
So apparently Michael Elgin is not. Is his strange affiliation, but so New Japan's coming to America this weekend, and yeah, lineup's not really setting a lot of people's worlds on fire. I don't know, maybe it's just me.
That's too bad because they're actually going to be awesome. Well, at least the Philadelphia show, anyway, I think is going to be pretty good.
The Philly show's the one with the Key and Prince Devitt, right?
Yeah,
the one at Basketball City in New York.
Well then, which one's Philly? Because I know.
Let me pull.
I have the cards pulled up here. Philly is
Tanahashi and Kenny Omega. Tanahashi and Davey, right?
I don't think so. Oh yeah, Tanahashi and Davey in Philly. Liger and Kenny Omega. Davit and Ryusuke Taguchi versus Homicide and Loki. So that could be really sick. Toji Makabe and Rhino win like a South Philly street fight or whatever, so that'll at least be interesting, I guess, and the finals of the Intercontinental title tournament thing they're doing, so who knows who could end up in the finals of that.
I'm hoping it's Mr. Perfect and Tito Santana. But
if only.
No, Philly is low-key in Prince Devitt, and then Charlie Haas getting a shot at the IWGP heavyweight title, which who would have thunk it? Him and Tanahashi. And by the way, I've seen one MVP match from Japan. Have either of you seen any of this stuff over there so far?
I haven't seen any. It's not on my top priority list, that's for sure.
Michael?
Yeah, I was going to say, it is very low on the priority list. I got a folder of about a million things out of that. And like a pile of DVDs. I still got the February Chikara shows I still have to watch. That's even how far behind I am on Chikara.
Dude, I have those exact same shows to watch, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So that's how far. And I'm only on the I'm not even on SoCal Showdown yet for ROH. That's how far behind I am. So, but PWG, man, as soon as they come in, boom, they go right in the DVD player. But everything else, it's kind of like, you know. Now that it's summer, though, I have a little bit more time.
I was gonna mention because I saw MVP and Makabe, and it was all right. It wasn't MVP's not exactly number one gaijin so far, but he wasn't nearly as embarrassing as I thought it'd be.
Yeah, though, but that's the thing too. Like Makabe is not exactly like super worker. He's essentially like the New Japan Stone Cold Steve Austin. So
yeah. A lot of forearms. Yeah. MVP. He seems like, you know, the story goes, you know, with his life. It seems like he's a fan of the Japanese style. It's just he is not quite accustomed to it yet. I heard him in I believe it was him and Giant Bernard maybe, or him and Carl Anderson, one of those two, was really good.
Yeah.
So I might check that out soon. And I was just asking, you know, he's supposedly going to be all over these shows, so.
Yeah, I figured they're going to put that Intercontinental title thing on him. Might as well, right?
So. Yeah. Because, you know, he couldn't win it in WWE, so I'm sure that's one of his deals. Like, Vince wouldn't put me over Dolph Ziggler, so you guys have to put the Intercontinental title on me.
You have to create an Intercontinental title and put it on me.
Exactly. I'm sure if, like, Ring of Honor wants to bring him in, you know, we'll be seeing Ring of Honor Intercontinental title being created. Big tournament coming up. Double Danger Scramble. But no, it looks fun, which, by the way, Tama Tonga, who's like Alan Farrell's new favorite wrestler, just got pulled off the shows. He's injured or something. So Josh Daniels gets to make his New Japan debut. Have you seen his hair?
Yes, I have. I watched the Super 8, and so I saw his new haircut, and wow.
Yeah, I was watching, I watched the Super 8, and I watched the Jersey All-Pro Anniversary shows. Nice. He has, like, the 80s, like, mullet deal where, like, it's not really a mullet so much as he just grew his hair out and doesn't realize he has a mullet, and he kind of combs it over ever so nicely. Yeah. But very Paul Roma-like in its ways.
Dude, it's totally Paul Roma-like. That's perfect.
Yes. Paul Roma is perfect. He's also very pretty.
So I've heard.
Best. Yes. So yeah, New Japan, all sorts of fun stuff. I really hope it doesn't completely bomb at the box office, though, considering.
I'll be there.
Yes.
Yeah, do like either of you guys know what the pre-sale's like for? Because it seems like the shows have had no hype whatsoever. Yeah. Like, until you mentioned before, like when you asked me to be on the show tonight, you kind of said, yeah, we might like look at the New Japan cards. And I was like, oh, shit, like that's this weekend. I totally forgot.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it until Mike told me.
Yeah.
So, but and I know.
To be honest with you, and I guess I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I know Rahway is dead for JAPW, so I don't know. I don't want to think about how bad it is for this New Japan show.
No, Rahway's all right for Jersey All Pro. It's just.
Did you see the anniversary show?
Well, no, I did see the anniversary show, and like it was, you know, pretty cut. But I mean, I think they still do pretty well. Like they did well, like what was it, last May and last January? But then again, that was last May and last January.
I mean, like those shows they did really well on when they brought in like Liger and they brought Masato Tanaka. So maybe like that they're bringing those guys again. Like maybe they'll draw well. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I'm wondering how they're gonna do. But to kind of segue though, the show I'm going to that show on Sunday for New Japan, but the show I'm going to Saturday is CZW. And I'm actually more hyped for the CZW show than the New Japan show. And that, I guess it's maybe partly because – so I didn't even know I cut off. But no, basically what I wanted to say was how kind of excited I am for the CW show, because there's a lot of like the, I think they kind of have like a lot of the guys I've enjoyed like in big matches. Like you got Sammy Masada, who wrestled in November in Germany, and I thought they had a hell of a match. And some people were kind of down in that match. I thought maybe they kind of did like overkill and way too many moves. But like I eat that shit up. I love that those kind of matches. I think Masada and Sammy is gonna be awesome. I think a dog collar match with Drake and Scotty Vortex. I am far from the biggest Scotty Vortex fan in the world, but I think like a dog collar match is like going to be entertaining, because I think Drake is going to be good in that role. I don't know why. I'm just really excited for that. And, you know, you got Adam Cole and AR Fox. And even now with me, I'm out of it. And that stupid whole handcuff thing out the window. I'm just kind of hoping that they just have like a straight up wrestling match, you know, even with like, you know, Cole kind of doing this heel shtick and AR Fox is, you know, super over with the crowd right now. And then you got, you know, just like other like really like cool little matches like Jake Chris and Ryan McBride and Rich Swann and Alex Colon and even Ty Hagen and Ryan Eagles, I think is going to be decent. You know, it's just like these little like undercard junior heavyweight guys who you know, I dig the hell out of. And Tom, you've even commented, because I think you watched on the Wired show, but Rich Swann has improved so much.
Oh my God, has he ever.
Yeah, and I was going to say Travis, and I know you'll agree too, but man, he has gotten so good. And Alex Colon, if you go back and look, see where like Alex Colon was, you know, when he was in the Spanish Armada, excuse me, as opposed to now, Alex Colon has even improved too. So I even think that's going to be a hell of a matchup with those guys, because they've gotten so much better. And you can kind of see like these prospects, you know, kind of moving up and getting better. And it's a lot of fun to see. So. You know, I just kind of rambled on there, I guess, of all my thoughts on the various matches on the show. Plus you got Gresham and Akuma, too. So I think, if anything, Gresham brings out the best in Akuma. So, Travis, I guess, what are your thoughts on the show?
No, I totally agree with pretty much everything you said, especially about the improvement of Rich Swann. Actually, I finally managed to check out the Evolve iPay-per-view the other day and, like, watch it on demand. And I thought Rich Swann and AR Fox on that was incredible for what it was. Oh, yeah. And just Rich Swann fired on all cylinders in that match. There was a spot where, like, AR Fox went for, like, an ace crusher. And Swann did, like, a handstand to avoid it. And I haven't been so flabbergasted by a move in a really long time. Like, literally jaw wide open. Could not believe that shit. One match you didn't mention, though, that, I mean, could kind of go either way, but I'm actually really intrigued by it, is Danny Havoc and Ryan Slater for the Ultraviolent Underground title.
I knew I forgot one, and that is because I love Ryan Slater, man. I think that's cool.
Yeah, Ryan Slater was another one of my guys, where he was one of my guys to look out for 2011. Really hasn't done a lot, I mean, aside from the whole viral video thing against the Osirian portal, but I don't know. I'm really, really intrigued to see what he's like in a deathmatch setting, so... I think that could be real cool. Danny Havoc's super over, so I don't know. I really have high hopes for that one, so we'll see how it goes.
The one thing I'm digging is not necessarily in terms of the match, because I haven't seen it yet, but the way that the steps for Drake and Vortex are building between CZW and IPW.
Yeah, man.
Because they did a straight-up match in IPW. They're doing dog collar at CZW, and then next month at IPW they're doing a thumbtack match.
Yeah.
So,
That's the thing too. Like, actually, I was on the CZW website maybe a couple days ago, just to kind of like check out the card and see what else was announced and stuff. And they had like a little write up on the main page, like referencing their feud in IPW too. And I think that's awesome. And I really like seeing like some smaller indie feds like that kind of almost cross promoting. I mean, it definitely helps the other company out. I mean, if a CZW fan doesn't know what IPW is, but they hear like Drake and Scotty, who are fighting at the next CZW show, fought in IPW, maybe they'll check out a DVD or vice versa, you know? So I think that's really cool, and I'm glad they're doing something like that. So.
Which, by the way, speaking of IPW, I guess their main event on Saturday was fantastic.
What was the main event?
It was AR Fox, Jake Crist, Sammy, and Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, nice. That sounds really good.
Yeah, I guess it was a deal where like the crowd wasn't too familiar with Zack Sabre Jr., and by the end they were going nuts for him. So
yeah.
I guess because he did that at a Heartland Cup too for HWA. Nobody knew who he was going in, but by the end of the weekend they were all wanting him to win the tournament. So.
Oh, nice.
I can't wait to watch that, man. Yeah, that's going to be great.
Yeah, I think it comes out in about a week or two, so
nice.
So yes. And I've been told to let everyone know to expect lots of things coming up from HWA, lots of expansion coming up. But yeah, dude, you mentioned Crist and Ryan McBride hopefully leading to Irish airborne against Irish drive-by. That'd be kind of amazing.
Yeah, wouldn't it be? That'd be really witty. So I wonder if they would think of such a thing to do, like Irish drive-by versus Irish airborne. Yeah. But anything to get Irish airborne booked in as many indie feds that I watch as possible is cool by me.
Yeah. Oh,
because,
and if
I, like, oh, go ahead. No, I was gonna say, because you even got Adam Cole. Like, if you keep him in down the line, have Adam Cole bring in Kyle O'Reilly, and they can do it. Or is he even thinking, because, like you said, like your buddies that I know, Tom? I don't know if any people at IPW or any people at HW are listening to this who do book Irish Airborne and can possibly bring in Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. But someone needs to book that match before, you know, you can't anymore, because one of them signed in WWE or something. So
For sure,
which will most likely be Adam Cole. But
not
to slide on the other guys, but you know what I mean. Like, he'd obviously be the guy where, you know, once he's gotten all these matches that you want to do, you can't really do anymore. Like, even look at the Young Bucks and wait. The Young Bucks aren't around, so that's why somebody do this match while you can.
I also wanted to mention that after Wired, if Gresham loses to Akuma, that's kind of the ultimate burial of a guy. Like, I don't know if you guys got to see the show, but Akuma lost to Latin Dragon.
Really?
Yeah, I read your review of it on MikeandTom.com.
I wrote a review last night because I figured, hey, content, might as well. But no, and by the way, if you haven't, Travis, gotten to see the show and get a chance, dude, like, the crowd's kind of whatever, but dude, Drew Gulak on that show is like, he's like the perfect guy in that company to build Wired around. Like, perfect. And now that he's got, like, a big Bubba with him, like...
Oh, does he really?
Yes.
Like, big, anybody of name, or just, like...
It's the big black CZW student with the dreadlocks.
Like, he's like Samoan. If you know, like, the Samoan guy, he's like a big bouncer, like, he's... I mean, if you ever watch, like, any of these CW shows, like, you know, they wear these big, bright yellow shirts. You really can't miss
him. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Believe me, he's a guy. You'll know him when you see him. Yeah, you'll know him when you see him.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
He death-killed Devin Moore in a couple of moves. Yeah, the main event of the first TV show was the CZW heavyweight champion against the CZW Wired champion. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, it felt weird seeing Devin Moore come out announced as the world heavyweight champion.
Yeah, I think I mentioned to you while I was watching Best of the Best, I don't know how I feel about Devin Moore as champion, but I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool when he won the belt. Maybe it's just because...
Oh, yeah. It was a really nice moment, but get the title the hell off of him as soon as possible.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely the ego on Saturday.
Yeah, I watched the show, like, I watched Best of the Best completely spoiler-free, so never in a million years did I expect, like, Devin Moore to win the fucking CZW World Heavyweight title, so I thought that was really cool, but I totally thought, like, he would lose it the next day, even, so...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, Drew Blood there. I mean, that was really nice, you know, counting the pinfall, but... It's like Vince with Rey Mysterio. It's like, all right, get the tail off of him.
He has a shoot interview on smartworkvideo.com that just got released. Yeah.
I've actually heard it's good. I don't know. I got a random Facebook message from my buddy Georgie G-Boy Hazar the other day pimping the Devin Moore shoot interview. So check it out, man. Smartworkvideo.com.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on with this?
Dude, I don't know. We had this issue like last week sometime. I forget if it was the Naylor show or what, but I think you dropped out like once or twice and we never realized it.
Oh, wow.
Like, weird. We're talking about the Devin Moore shoot interview. Nobody, like, I guess Georgie Boy saw it.
Is that what you're talking? Oh, how was it?
I don't know. He, like, randomly hit me up on Facebook chat and told me to order it because it's entertaining. So, I don't know. Apparently, he buries everybody. I don't know.
Yeah. Good for him.
I just placed a nice order with the fine folks at smartmarkvideo.com. I actually just picked up a couple of those Dreamwave wrestling shows that they got for like $11, I guess. So I guess I'm going to try that out and see how that is. So
I did see
that they did book Magnum Wrestling, I think, is the other Fed, I guess. It's like in the Midwest, Tom. I don't know where all these Dreamwave
the deal in Iowa with that's Jason Strife goof. I don't like to bury a lot of people, but Jason Strife's a goof.
Really
is. He just is. End of story. Jason Strife's a goof. I won't.
Right. I don't know. I'll always have at least a little bit of love for him for that match he had against Dingo, that I Quit match or whatever, the one TPI.
But which legitimately, it was against Dingo, who was like the last great IWA wrestler. Who, you know, like, Dingo and Sammy was awesome. And Dingo had a lot of good matches, dude.
Yeah, he did.
It's a shame, you know, what happened.
Dingo wrestled Tozawa.
Well, no, he's back now,
the
way. Yeah.
Dingo wrestled Tozawa on this show.
Good for him. That's awesome.
Yeah, I have that DVD. I'm hopefully going to get a chance to watch it.
Was it at the Condom Fed?
No, it was at the ACW in Texas or whatever. I don't know if that's Condom Fed. I don't really know what you're referencing.
Magnum.
ACW. I actually did buy that too, Travis, because now that's the DVDs are $15. I'm like,
show looks good too. It has like Paul Lyon on it. Like
Robert Evans in an I Quit match in the main event, man. Robert Evans is the fucking shit. Bob Evans, who we talked about previously, sucks. Robert Evans, aka Barrister RD Evans, aka Archibald Peck. Is the greatest. Is one of the greatest in the world, man, and he's just getting started.
Brilliant, like even at ROH, like on the weekend, like as a second to Ciampa, like he's just so charismatic animated on the floor. And I got a chance to watch King of Trios over the past week, and like his match with Cabana, I thought was amazing, entertaining. Like that guy's absolutely brilliant. He's one of those guys that just really, really gets pro wrestling. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. And yeah, like Jimmy Jacobs versus Masada on that show, just like all sorts of good looking shit. So. Definitely looks pretty good.
No, that makes me so happy that Dingo wrestled Tozawa. Like,
yeah. You have no idea. Tom, if you go on YouTube, there's a six-way on YouTube that they're both in. They don't really interact too much, but it's not a great match or anything, but it's decent for what it is. So, I mean, you know, if it takes you a while to get a chance to actually see the show where they have their singles match, it might be a little bit to whet your appetite, so... Just search Anarchy Championship Wrestling on YouTube and it'll come up. It's like a free web match that they uploaded.
For sure.
So we should be get going, right?
We should probably get going here in a second.
I did want to talk about something else, but we'll talk about it on the next Mike and Tom Present. We'll do like little Superstars of Wrestling on the next Mike and Tom Present. I think on the next show, I want to talk about Spring Stampede 94, which time it's kind of relevant because you're kind of reviewing around that same time period right now on the website.
Yeah, I just passed it like a couple weeks ago, but I was thinking about going back and watching it. It's so awesome.
Well, please do it. And on the next Mike and Tom, we'll talk about how awesome Spring Stampede 94 is because it is awesome. So check
for
that
sure,
out.
For sure.
Thanks for coming on, Travis. Really appreciate it, buddy.
No problem, man. Anytime.
So I think with that, we're going to head out. Real quick, I did want to thank everybody who sent their well wishes for the wedding, because we both, Alex and I, really appreciated it.
We'll talk about that next time, too.
For sure. Just wanted to send out the quick thanks and how thankful we were for all the kids that we got well wishes and congratulations from across the world.
Strangers wishing you well on your
wedding. I know. I showed Alex one from Scotland that impressed her greatly.
Nice.
Because I'm famous and everything. But no, with that, we're going to head out. Thanks, Travis. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, you.
Yep.
Thanks, Tom Richards. Thanks, everybody, for listening or being on the show. And we are out. I woke up.